of the universe, in fact, is the paperwork. And if you want the story, then remember that a story does not unwind, it weaves. Events that start in different places and different times all bear down on that one tiny point in space-time which is the perfect moment. Supposing an emperor was persuaded to wear a new suit of clothes, whose material was so fine that to the common eye the clothes weren't there. And suppose a little boy pointed out this fact in a loud, clear voice. Then you have the story of the emperor who had no clothes. But if you knew a bit more, it would be the story of the boy who got a well-deserved thrashing from his dad for being rude to royalty and was locked up. Or the story of the whole crowd who were rounded up by the guards and told, "This didn't happen okay, does anyone want to argue?" Or it could be a story of how a whole kingdom suddenly saw the benefits of the new clothes and developed an enthusiasm for healthy sports, mostly involving big, big beach balls, in a lively and refreshing atmosphere which got many new adherents every year and led to a recession caused by the collapse of the conventional clothing industry. It could even be a story about the great pneumonia epidemic of 09. It all depends on how much you know. Supposing you'd watched the slow accretion of snow over thousands of years as it is compressed and pushed over the deep rock until the glacier carves its icebergs into the sea, and you watched an iceberg drift out through the chilly waters, and you got to know its cargo of happy polar bears and seals as they looked forward to a brave new life in the other hemisphere, where they say the ice floes are lined with crunchy penguins, and then, wham! Tragedy loomed in the shape of thousands of tons of unaccountably floating iron and an exciting soundtrack. You'd want to know the whole story. And this one starts with desks. This is the desk of a professional. It is clear that their job is their life. There are human touches, but these are the human touches that strict usage allows in a chilly world of duty and routine. Mostly they're on the only piece of real colour in this picture of blacks and greys. It's a coffee mug. Someone, somewhere, wanted to make it a jolly mug. It bears a rather unconvincing picture of a teddy bear and the legend, "To the world's greatest granddad." And the slight change in the style of lettering on the word granddad makes it clear that this has come from one of those stalls that have hundreds of mugs like this, declaring that they're for the world's greatest granddad, dad, mum, granny, uncle, aunt, blank. Only someone whose life contains very little else, one feels, would treasure a piece of Jim crackery like this. It currently holds tea with a slice of lemon. The bleak desk top also contains a paper knife in the shape of a scythe and a number of hourglasses. Death picks up the mug in a skeletal hand and took a sip, pausing only to look again at the wording he'd read thousands of times before and then put it down.
"Very well," he said, in tones of funeral bells. "Show me."
The last item on the desktop was a mechanical contrivance. Contrivance was exactly the right kind of word for it. Most of it was two discs. One was horizontal and contained a circlet of very small squares of what would prove to be carpet. The other was set vertically and had a large number of arms, each one of which held a very small slice of buttered toast. Each slice was set so that it could spin freely as the turning of the wheel brought it down towards the carpet disc.
"I believe I am beginning to get the idea," said Death.
The small figure by the machine saluted smartly and beamed, if a rat's skull could beam. It pulled a pair of goggles over its eye sockets, hitched up its robe and clambered into the machine. Death was never quite sure why he allowed the death of rats to have an independent existence. After all, being death meant being the death of everything, including rodents of all descriptions.